From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, and forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, Bob, this is great to be back. 2 weeks at a...
2 weeks? You know, this is a record.
We're doing back-to-back weeks, which is nice for us. But yes, another episode of Bob After Dark. We're to veil, as we speak, It started thinning, right?
Okay. It's like, you ever see the meme for Mariah Carey? When she, you know, you'll see her like, what's the word I'm looking for?
She's in the ocean or something like that?
She's in the ice.
She's thawing.
Yeah, and they'll play like All I Want for Christmas, you know?
Yep.
So you know what I'm talking about.
She famously pops out at midnight, November 1st, I think.
Yes, and she smashed the pumpkin last year with the candy cane.
How do you feel about that? I mean, is she taking liberties with Halloween?
I mean, I'm not the biggest Mariah Carey fan in the world. I don't know if that comes to a shock to all of you.
To be completely frank with you,
I couldn't even tell you one song that Mariah Carey has sung.
Besides All I Want for Christmas.
All I Want for Christmas. And I know that she sings at like, and I could be wrong, but I can't she sing at like such a pitch that communicates with whales or something?
I think dogs, dolphins, whales, all that stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, good for her. I couldn't tell you one song that Mariah Carey sings.
Yeah.
But, you know, all more power to her, I guess. You know, if you're going to own that you sung the Christmas song, you know, all the more power to you, dude.
But it should be October 1st. You should bust out a pumpkin or something like that. October 1st.
I should jump out of a pumpkin?
On October 1st, yeah.
What do I beat up?
You just pop
like
up.
The sun? Just like start kicking the sun?
Like we all gather in town square or something.
Oh, dude,
like
do I start jumping on sandcastles? Now, there we go. There it is. Bob Anderson jumps out of a sand pumpkin, right?
That could be a
and
thing.
And starts stomping on sandcastles.
Start off your season right.
You know, technically, today it was like dipping into the 70s, and it's almost time.
Well, we were dipping 60s today.
Thank you for telling me the news, Calvin.
Seventies now is a peak for us, but yeah, it's this is a
I'm almost
deal.
Time to start wearing a sweater while disc golfing, Count Panic.
Yeah. Now, do you take a break during the cold months?
I've never done it all the way up through winter. My assumption is I'll probably play through first snowfall, but there are people that play disc golf through the winter.
Hardcore.
Yes, they play during the snow. But I digress. This isn't a show about disc golf. This isn't Bob After Discs.
Yeah.
This is Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything in the night. We are your weekly-ish paranormal podcast and radio show where we talk about legends, lore, supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and of course, Count Panic's favorite color leaf that changes.
Oh, man. Like,
what color does it change to? It's your favorite.
Like a nice brown orange leaf.
That's a good color. I'm a red guy myself.
Like a nice red pure,
you know,
leaf?
Yes. That's my old man's favorite color was red. Dad, rest your soul.
Polish
red. I wonder if that's why he liked red, but I digress.
Maybe.
But, you know, Count, what's your weekend update?
Bob, of course, the veil of stinning. Old Count helped out the local animals. They had a big paws in the park.
Oh, look at you. You should have said something. I would have done something
for
you.
The big paws in the park. I volunteered, but I guest hosted for the dog fashion show for Paws in the
Park.
That's
great. Next time you ever do something like that, let me know. I would be happy to help.
I'm glad I wasn't judging, though, because it's tough to judge dogs, right?
Every dog wins.
Yeah.
I couldn't
We'd be horrible judges, I think.
No, I'd be petting every puppy that walks. Oh, I have to pup.
Yeah. Well, they don't forget, humidity in Indiana is a lot good for cats, too, but a lot of people don't walk cats. You know what's that, Bob? Like, I know you come from you're a cat guy.
I wasn't a cat guy
prior. You're a cat lover now.
I'm a cat, yes.
But do you walk the cats?
No.
No. Because no. Cats don't need to be walked, really.
No, right? I mean, people walk cats. I just don't walk my cat.
Yeah, you don't see it too often. I don't see anybody on the street walking a cat like they
It's not off. You'll see sometimes people walk a cat.
Yeah, rarely.
But, you know, mostly, you know, you also don't walk a hamster, I guess, right?
Yeah. But, you know, I hear Bob After Dark is big in the pet community.
I am. I love, I'm a big animal supporter. I always have.
Dogs listen, I mean.
I do. I, you know, dogs and cats are, you know, paranormal creatures. They see things that we don't. You know, I am a big fan of it. Bob Barker just passed away recently, and, you know, that spay and neuter your pets thing has always struck out in my skull, so.
That's
yeah,
how you
I am a supporter of the pet, you know, the pets.
You got to throw it. I know you got your own outro already, but you could add in at the end of every episode.
Make sure you have your pet spay. And Bob Barker's ghost would come back and knock me out.
Drew Carey does it now in Price is Right, so I guess it's a tradition Carey.
So that was your big thing over the weekend?
Yeah, that was the big thing. How'd you do? How was your weekend, Bob?
You know, so Friday night I did a last-minute guided flashlight twilight tour of the Crown Point Jail.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I'm sad I couldn't make it out today. I know there was a big shindig going on, right?
It was... They had like 30 people, you know, yeah. It was not our first rodeo doing the paranormal investigations at the Crown Point Jail. That's a place Count Panic and I frequent, you know, often. But I am a big, big fan of that place. It's really crowded. You know, the jail itself's ran by the Historical Society. Sandy does Sandy's a great person, like fantastic. Wealth of knowledge, by the way. That woman is a smart cookie. I got to meet some of her, I don't want to say assistants, cohorts, co-workers, assistants, whatever. I got to meet some of her other people on her crew, I guess you could say. And they were awesome, too. I can't remember any of their names, though, but there were some really cool folk that were running the show there. And they were doing some, you know, they gave everybody like a K2 meter. And, you know, you did some like very bare minimum paranormal investigation stuff. So it was kind of cool to like be around it.
Yeah.
I'm not used to doing investigations with more than like five people at a time, maybe seven. But man, more than 10, that's a lot of folk. But, you know, it was more of a historical thing.
It was.
With a touch of paranormal. I had a really lot of fun there. If you're listening, Crown Point Jail in, well, Crown Point's the jail where John Dillinger escaped from. That's like the, you know, like the big claim to fame. If you've ever seen Public Enemies, it's shot at the jail. It's one of my favorite places to investigate, and it's open to private investigations.
And from a historical aspect, the fact that it's still there.
And Sandy and her crew take such a good... They take such good care. Like, you know, you go to some locations, and I'm not dogging on anybody that runs a paranormal location, by the way, but it takes a lot of work to make those run, especially running plumbing.
Yeah, right. You
know, running plumbing is a hard thing to come by in the paranormal world. I'm not joking with you. You know, 90% of the time, you're going to go to a place that doesn't have, you know, running water, which means going to the bathroom is a tough thing. But you go to the Crown Point Jail, they got running water.
They do. Yeah. It's an amazing thing. Well, you know, too, with the fact that they're, you know, they're gearing up for a spooky season. They got their haunted house, which is they put it on. They decorate and then, you know.
We should have Sandy on as a guest this Halloween.
You know, all the payments go for the greater good of
it. And they do. They keep up that jail. Yeah. And it's one of my favorite places you can tour because it's got a lot of variety.
Yeah.
They got the woman's dormitory. They have the men's dormitory. They have juvenile. They have solitary confinement. They have, you know, the sheriff's house. By the way, they don't sponsor my show by any means. I'm not getting a kickback from this if you pay for a tour. But, you know, you go in there, you're going to learn something.
Yeah.
And it's so cool. And they take really good care of that building. So shout out to Sandy and the Lake County Jail people, the old Lake County Jail people.
Yeah.
And also, I hung out with our friends from ACG Paranormal, Nat and Elliot.
Yep.
Kid and Joe, or Boo Boo, as I come to find out his nickname is. So shout out to my friends at ACG Paranormal as well. And then I went to a spooky market where the Windy City Ghostbusters on Saturday.
Man, you were all around.
I did. You know, it's tis the season, man. I you know, I'm always out running around for the spookier stuff.
Yeah, but yes. you're getting a you know, September is when people kind of start, even like normal folks, they start gearing up for the whole Halloween season here. So. You're in the right spot, Bob. You're in the right spot.
Absolutely. So Bob After Dark is split up into two parts. The first part of the show is where you, the fans, or me, the Bob, go digging across the internet for some spooky, weird news of the week. That's where, you know, we find these articles that are like ghosts making it into major media, cryptid sightings, alien sightings, weird advances in borderline science fiction, or just downright odd and unusual. Count Panic is not told about these beforehand, and we get the hashtag panic stick, as I tell them. And, of course, we come back to the lore of the week, ripped right from the diaries of Dr. Ben Vanerson. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
You're sticking to that stuff.
Sticking to it. All right, so without further ado, Count Panic, you ready to dive into some spookiness?
Yeah, let's do it, Bob.
All right, so let's start with our first spooky news of the week. By the way, this week's been really hard on me, so I have three articles from Tim Benall.
There you have it.
They, look, man, if there is one person in the paranormal community that I want to meet, you know, don't get me wrong, being on Coast to Coast AM is like a dream. If you're listening, George Norrie, the host now, Art Bell's unfortunately no longer with us. George, my man. I'm ready to take the booking whenever you. I've had several friends on Coast to Coast. Joe Diamond, one of our friends, mentalists, he's been on a couple times. Other people, but I have never been on Coast to Coast. But other than George, Tim Benall, the guy who writes these articles. I say this time and time again, Tim. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be able to do this segment of the show. But so shout out to you, Tim, and all. Thanks for doing the legwork and letting me ride your coattails, man. I can't thank you enough. So three stories from Tim and all this week. Our first one comes to us. The title of the article: British cops respond to report of mass murder that turned out to be a yoga class.
Okay.
You heard that, right?
All right, I hear you correctly.
A bevy of cops swarmed a building in Britain after they received a call from a concerned resident who mistook a yoga class at the site of the scene of a mass murder. The bizarre incident reportedly began last Wednesday evening as instructor Millie Laws was winding down her session at the Seascape Cafe in Community Chapel St. Leonard's. The last half hour of the class saw her students adopt a corpse pose, wherein they remained perfectly still on the floor while she walked around the candlelit room beating a shamanic drum. It's a very common thing you see, by the way, guys. You do different things like this. I've been involved in drum circles, not yoga, but I've done drum circles, so that's common. Although the moment was undoubtedly relaxing for the participants, it had the opposite effect on a pair of people who caught a sight of the scene and thought they had stumbled upon some sort of ritualistic that had gone terribly awry. A couple with some dogs came up to the window and were having a look in, Laws recalled, but they walked off really quickly and I didn't think anything of it. Around 30 minutes later, after the class left the building, five police cars pulled up to the cafe with their sirens blaring. Laws later learned that the couple had actually alerted the authorities to what they thought suspected was a ritualistic massacre, as they could find no other explanation for the seven lifeless bodies on the floor and the instructor walking around a dimly lit room wearing what appeared to be a long robe. Calling the situation a bit surreal and funny, Laws expressed sympathy for the shaken couple, though mused that at the same time, you've got to see the lighter side of it. Hashtag panic state.
Yeah, you know what? Things happen like that, I feel like, from time to time, especially around this time of year. You just got to get right at the end of the day, Bob, it's all about taking a good look, surveying the situation first before you go crazy with it. So just a case like that, I guess.
For what it's worth, right? I could see it from both angles. As somebody who's been involved in rituals in the past, I've never been involved in the ritualistic sacrifice. That stuff doesn't really happen, guys, in modern craft. It's silly. Knock that nonsense out. We don't sacrifice things, right? But I've been involved in rituals where you relax and they play the drums and they do the bells and they light the sage, and yoga is a very interesting way to relax. To a bystander walking by and seeing a person like beating a drum and people laying on the floor, there's two rules of the paranormal or in the world sometimes you got to think about. One, mind your business, right? And two, maybe you might be a little concerned. I don't know what I would have done in this situation. I don't know, calling the cops is the right word. If I see a person walking around beating a drum, I also have the knowledge that, oh, maybe they're doing some sort of ritual. You know, maybe they're doing a drum circle, or maybe it's a local pagan meetup, or a witch's thing. Those things come. They happen all the time, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how I would feel, but I'm more interested in the hashtag panic stake.
Well, again, that's the whole thing about the rituals and whatnot. But again, I as I bring it back to it, it's all about surveying the whole situation, right? Making sure everything's in check before you kind of continue on with that type of stuff. But rituals, too. I agree with you, Bob. I tend to stay out of them. I know Even when you're working on a Ouija board, I stay out of it because I just don't want to. I don't want to mess with it, Bob.
That's fine. That's I understand. But you know, I've been in. Like I said, I get it. I don't know what kind of action this police force sees on the normal. Mm-hmm. Seeing five, you know, I can imagine like. Okay, I don't know how the couple called, but I'm going to assume the couple called and probably was like, "There's a mass murder, right?"
Yeah,
you know, that's an idea.
Scary situation. Yeah.
But how I would have done it is like, "Hey, there's a really strange thing going on at this cafe. You know, somebody's walking around the ground. There's a bunch of bodies laying on the floor and they're beating a drum. You know, I'm just giving you a heads up." And maybe they send out one officer to go check it out. And they're like, "Oh, it's fine. They're doing their thing." I don't know what's going on there. You know, how busy it is. Waiting 30 minutes to send five police cars is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how rural the area is by any means, but anywho.
It happens.
It happens sometimes. I get it. Yeah. I do feel for the couple, though. Can you imagine, like, let's say me and you aren't in the lives that we're in, right? And we do what we do. And somebody just walked by something and they saw a person walking around a bunch of lifeless bodies. If I was... I don't want to say vanilla is not the right word. If I was if I didn't know what was going on or if I didn't have know-how, I'd be a little creeped out, but I don't know, you know, so I understand where they're coming from, I guess. It's just interesting that they sent five cops.
Five cops.
Which, you know, maybe you want to do, I don't know. It's an interesting take.
Taking care of
right?
business.
All right. Our next news story, would, in quotations, what? Would spelled W-O-O-D, you be fooled by a Kentucky man's giant Sasquatch carving? Although some Coast to Coast fans might find a discovery of 14-foot Sasquatch to be a thrilling experience, most people would likely be a little unnerved. Either way, in the case of the creature reportedly inhabiting Summit, Kentucky, there'd be nothing to worry about. Boyd County's most recent Sasquatch sighting is the work of local artist Travis Williams, who sculpted the giant cryptid out of a fallen tree with its chainsaw. Williams' wooden tribute to the legendary creature can be found at Armco Park in Summit, where it welcomes visitors to its new home. Hashtag panic steak.
Well, that's, you know, terrifying. A lot of people have these Bigfoot statues, though, not just if they're carved out of wood, but...
I have a concrete one.
The concrete one, right? Yeah. My family has a concrete one, too.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have, like, the silhouettes of a statue.
It's a very... It's probably the most famous pose in cryptozoology.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the
walking.
The
walking. Which, if you're seeing that from afar, maybe in the shadows, you would think that could be an actual Sasquatch there, an actual Bigfoot. But you really got to look and see before you start going crazy with things. You got to make sure it could be an actual Sasquatch or not.
Do you know how you approach a Sasquatch
if you
see one?
How?
You're supposed to smack the tree trunk.
That's right. We learned about this in the video.
Yeah, I was with some guy named Tony Panic once doing a Sasquatch.
And that's true, though. You smack the tree trunk.
You're supposed to smack the tree trunk, and that communicates with the Sasquatch.
I don't know about that.
Or the Sasquatches. Yeah. The Squatchers.
Yeah. What's a pack of Sasquatch?
I think it's Sasquatch-I.
Sasquatch-I. Yeah,
Trust me, there is definitely... So, in the world of cryptozoology, there are people who specifically only do Bigfoot hunting and Bigfoot research. They have their own term. I think they're, I don't know the exact term. Pardon me, guys. I'm drawing a blank. But they do exist, and there is a whole culture behind, like, if you come across a Bigfoot, if you're trying to communicate with one in the woods, this is how you don't get your arms ripped out of your sockets. This is how you approach one. If I ever saw a 12-foot one just chilling in the weeds, I'd get a little closer, discover it's a, you know, wooden statue that this lovely artist made. Good for them. That's pretty cool. You know, and especially if this is like, you know, a county in Kentucky where there's supposedly a lot of sightings. That's really cool to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I can imagine like a really fun hoax to play on people. It's probably
they're
really
embracing
silly.
It. Yes.
Absolutely. Would you take your selfie with a giant 12-foot carved Bigfoot?
Yeah, of course. It's not a real Bigfoot, right? Although taking a real Bigfoot would be cool. You still don't know how they would interact with people, so it's kind of intimidating. It'll be the selfie of a century, though, if you get a selfie with a Bigfoot, actual Bigfoot, though.
Yes.
Yeah. Too risky.
Too risky, huh?
Yep.
All right, so our last news story. Guys, by the way, I am not a conspiracy theory show. You know, if you're coming here expecting me to be talking about topics like did the moon landing actually happen, I am not the show for you.
Yeah.
I can appreciate the people that do that sort of thing. I say this time and time again about the world of the weird.
Yeah.
We're all on the same bowling league, just different bowling teams. Yeah. I say that all the time. You have your paranormal investigators, you have cryptozoologists, you have your true crime people, you have the conspiracy theory crowd. They do their thing, I do my thing.
You do, yeah.
And there's a little crossover on the occasion, but I'm not that type of person. However, I did find this news article very fascinating. Mm-hmm. Take it how you will, guys. I'm just sharing a news article. This is not going to turn into anything political, okay?
Okay.
But there's a new JFK information.
Oh, the man,
assassination
really?
JFK, yes. A former Secret Service agent, Paul Landis, who was present at the President John F. Kennedy's assassination, recently came forward with a revelation that challenges the magic bullet theory and raises questions about the possibility of a second shooter. Landis, now 88 years old, which, by the way, 88 and being able to recall, like, the day of,
pretty good.
That's pretty amazing. Hats off to you, my friend. Shared his recollection with the New York Times nearly 60 years after the tragic event. He claimed that in the chaos following the shooting, he discovered a nearly pristine bullet on the back seat of the open limousine, just behind where Kennedy had been sitting when he was killed. Landis preserved the bullet for autopsy investigators by placing it on the president's hospital stretcher. This discovery challenges the long-held belief that the magic bullet was found on the Texas Governor John Kennedy's stretcher and suggests it may have rolled from Kennedy's stretcher, potentially undermining the theory and lending support to the idea that Lee Harvey Oswald may not have acted alone in the assassination. Yeah. Do you know what I mean when I talk about the concept of the magic bullet is that one person shot and it was able to, you know, pull the trigger and killed somebody, killed them? You're familiar
yeah,
with that?
Familiar okay, with that yeah.
Yep, yep. So what's your take? Hashtag panic stake.
Yeah, I mean, that's fascinating, Bob. And it's a historical story, too, which kind of leads into even more intrigue and interest. But you're right. Having a from that long ago, Bob, it's a
this something. Guy's able to, you know, I guess, you know, when you get a little older, you might forget things and maybe yeah, you remember like a big so. Like, you know, a big event like that. But able to nail it down to the last detail yeah. is pretty fascinating.
That's pretty good.
I normally wouldn't ask you this, but what's your take on the, do you think there was two shooters? Do you think the, you know, what's your take on it? Or you, and it's okay to say, I don't really know.
I mean, I don't know, Bob. I mean, that's one of those things that they go back and forth with sometimes. Well, was there a second shooter? But I mean, at the end of the day, do we have a concrete proof that there was, you know?
That's fair.
I mean, it remains a mystery to this very day with reason.
Absolutely. It's an interesting thing. To be honest with y'all, I don't have an opinion on it. I do find it kind of cool, though, that we're getting more information as years go on about what some of these things are, you know, what's going on. I find it very fascinating, which is why I brought it up on the show.
Curious.
Yes. How are you doing, Count?
I'm doing good, Bob. I'm happy to be back in Bob After Dark.
I'm happy to be here, too. But you know what I would be happier with?
What's that?
A break.
Okay.
You want to take a quick break?
Sure.
All right, for our live fans, stick around. We'll be right back. And for our podcast fans, we'll be telling you about a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez. Oh.
And we're back. Oh,
wow.
Hey, Count Panic.
Hey, Bob. Bob, what's going on?
Oh, nothing much. Count, what'd you do during break?
Bob, during the break, I traveled into the forest and took a selfie with a family of big feet.
Big feet.
Sasquatch Eye.
Sasquatch Eye.
Yeah.
You know what? I have the magic of the internet right in front of me.
You did?
So what was your selfie like? Did you enjoy it?
I did. You know, it was fascinating. I didn't take the photo because the Bigfoot, the leader of the Bigfeet, the Sasquatch, he has a pretty long arm, so he was able to get a perfect selfie with everybody. I'll be posting that later on today, my photo with the Bigfoot family. How about you? What did you?
You know, I took up wood carving. I've done this before, and I make like whistles, and I made little shoes before. This time, I carved a 12-foot Mothman statue, and I put it in Whiting Park.
Really?
Yes.
Is it out in the open there? I mean, can I take a picture with it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'll have to go on the lookout for it, Bob.
Hey, it's really impressive. Right. I want to point out that I Googled what's the plural of Sasquatch, and Sasquatches, or just Sasquatch are appropriate answers according to Google. I know a fan's going to be writing in being like, you should know this. And I honestly, I'm not wrong. I'm right there with you. So I should know the answer. I'm going to stick to Sasquatch.
Sasquatch
is a cool name. A pack of Sasquatch. That's pretty cool, ain't it?
Yeah,
that's a cool name.
Yeah.
Anyway, you should go check out my 12-foot Mothman statue I carved and put at Whiting Park.
Okay, I'll be there.
No reason why I put it at Whiting Park, but I did.
It's sentimental to you, Bob, and that's all that matters.
All right. Count Panic.
Yeah, Bob.
We've talked about a lot of strange things in our lives.
We have.
We have talked a lot of, in our career here at Bob After Dark, we've talked about a lot of spooky things.
Spooky.
We've talked about a lot of things that go bump in the night.
Bump in the night.
Things that scream, things that screech.
Things that, terrify.
Things that'll make you bump in the night yourself away from the noises.
There you go. Things that will leave your mind oozing.
Yes. But what if I was to tell you that I have a story about devil monkeys?
Devil monkeys?
Devil monkeys.
Devil monkeys.
Devil monkeys.
Devil monkeys.
Welcome to the rest of the show where we just say, yes, we're going to be talking about devil monkeys today, ripped right from the journals of Dr. Ben Vanerson. By the way, folks, our phone lines are open. Can you put Count Panic to work, please?
219-845-1100.
219-845-1100. You can call in. I haven't heard from John yet. That's why I mentioned that. In case John was dozing off.
Are you putting out the official call?
This is the call to John to call, or anybody to call in, really. All Give right. me something to do, please. I like talking to you guys. I know our podcast fans aren't going to be listening when we record live all the time, but we have radio fans. I know y'all are there.
We do.
You can call in. I'm interested to hear what you have to say, but anyway, 219-845-1100. All right. So you want to talk about devil monkeys?
Devil monkeys.
Devil monkeys.
Yeah,
it rolls right off the tongue, right?
Devil monkeys.
The devil monkeys. This is ripped from the Cryptid Wiki, which, by the way, is a great source of information. If you're looking to do your own spooky research, and you're specifically interested in cryptids, they have a whole list of them. So shout out to the Cryptid Wiki. I appreciate you. Sometimes for Bob After Dark, I just draw a blank on what I'm going to do. So I'll go to the Cryptid Wiki and I'll just scroll up and down and I'll pick something. And I'm like, the devil monkeys. And I'll look at the article and, there's enough to talk about. Because sometimes you find things like the Phantom Chicken of Wisconsin and there's not enough to talk about.
It happens.
I never talked about the Phantom Chicken before, and I'm surprised you didn't bring up what is the Phantom Chicken.
Do you have a Phantom Chicken story?
There is a Phantom Chicken story in Wisconsin. I read this over the past weekend. All it is there's reports of a chicken that pops out on this abandoned hen farm on Hen Road.
Oh.
And this stories go that travelers will see this this ghostly chicken walk across the street and just disappear, like, into a puff of smoke.
Really?
Some people have reported hitting said chicken, and they get out and look, and there's no chicken.
I mean, what caused this all?
It's just a ghost chicken, man.
Okay.
So, but I can't do an entire episode. There you go. You got three sentences about the Phantom Chicken. It's a fascinating story, but I can't do an entire episode about it.
Okay.
Or the Polish Disco Demon.
Polish Disco Demon.
A.K.A. John and my dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in the day.
That was a big story.
That was a big story. But anyway, I'm talking about devil monkeys.
Devil monkeys.
All right. There have been reports of devil monkeys, which are large baboon-like primates that are now being spotted in wooded areas near Flagstaff, Arizona. The eyewitness said that she noticed her dog was acting very agitated and scared when they were on their hike through Mount Eldon Forest Trail, when she noticed a small group of primitive-looking creatures scurrying around the rocks. She described them as 4 to 5 feet tall, very quick and agile. She called these creatures... These creatures are called devil monkeys in other parts of the United States, and there have been sightings in other places such as New Mexico, Utah, and Colorado, other than Flagstaff, Arizona. Unique species of monkeys that have been described as being 3 to 4 feet tall, though some witnesses, like the one I said before, can go up to 5 feet, and all the way to the excess of 7 feet tall. It seems clear, however, that those who have encountered with the larger of the beast are actually describing a run-in with a prototypical hairy humanoid that, and are not the similar, more primate like the devil monkey. Unlike the legendary gorilla like Bigfoot or Yeti, these creatures, which are seen throughout American and South Midwest and as far north as Alaska, have been described as a shaggy canine-faced baboon like creatures with powerful, almost kangaroo-like legs, a trait that they share with the South America's notorious goat sucker, the chupacabra. Other distinguishing traits that devil monkeys are said to bear include three-toed razor-clawed feet, tiny pointed ears, and a long, often bushy tail, not unlike the legends of the Rougarou of the South or werewolves or the infamous Derrida roadkill. You enjoying yourself?
I am falling.
So you went quiet on me.
No, I'm waiting for your story.
Okay. I am telling you the story. I was checking in on you, man.
I just want to make sure no more.
All right. You ready to go on?
Yeah.
Okay. The first reported encounter with the swift, dangerous predator occurred in 1934 in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, according to the reports, which are allegedly published in national newspapers. Eyewitnesses described a mysterious beast that could leap across fields with lightning speed. This ability to jump great distances up to 20 feet, according to some accounts, have led to speculate that these animals may have something in common with the kangaroos that have been seen throughout the United States for decades, including the south side of Chicago kangaroos. It's a real story. Ask kangaroos? Our friend Jack about it. Yeah, real kangaroo sightings in South Chicago. Anyway, moving on. The suggestion is that those who think that they're seeing kangaroos from a distance are in fact seeing devil monkeys. While these 1934 encounters may or may not be associated with the phenomena, the first official devil monkey sighting occurred in 1959. While a couple by the name of Boyd were driving through the mountains near their home in Saltville, Virginia. According to their account, an ape-like beast attacked their car, leaving 3 scratch marks on the vehicle. The Boyd's daughter, Pauline, described the terrifying attacker as follows. It had light, taffy-colored hair with a white blaze down its neck and underbelly. It stood on 2 legs, well-muscled back legs, and had shorter front legs or arms. Boyd went on to describe a second devil monkey encounter that occurred just days after later in the same region. Several days after this incident, 2 nurses from Saltville area were driving home from work one morning and were attacked by an unknown creature who ripped off the top part of the convertible of the car. So it ripped the roof of the vehicle clear off.
That's impressive.
You have a caller?
No.
You were moving around like we had a caller.
I just got just myself.
I got excited. Luckily, the nurses, though surely frightened out of their wits, were unharmed. In 1969, esteemed mystery ape researcher John Green looked into the accounts of the long-tailed monkey beasts that eyewitnesses claimed were lurking near Mamquan, British Columbia. This creature was said to have left a series of distinct 3-toed tracks, much like those who were attributed to devil monkeys as well as the legendary Bigfoot in its wake. In 1973, famed cryptozoologist Lauren Coleman investigated reports of 3 black bushy-tailed giant monkeys that were said to have slaughtered livestock in Albany, Kentucky. Coleman mentioned the event in an interview with Animal Planet. I investigated that case in depth. I interviewed the people who were very sincere. In the whole context of the devil monkey reports, it seemed extremely sincere. You have these reports of hairy monkey-like creatures with tails and very different from Bigfoot. In 1979, there was a spate of reported encounters with a bipedal monkey-like critter known as the Bigfoot, which hailed from the rural depths of Georgia. One female eyewitness described it as the ugliest-looking thing she's ever seen, which isn't very fair. It had a tail like a beaver, but it was bushy. She also claimed it bore a face like a dog. These traits are all known to be devil monkey characteristics. In fact, more than a few eyewitnesses have described these beasts as resembling a wild dog at a distance, which suggests that the creature may employ both bipedal and quadrupedal locomotion, meaning it can jump and run on its hind legs all by itself, and it can jump on four legs and crawl around. What's going on?
You want to do a phone call?
We'll take it live.
You want to take it live?
We'll take it live. Why not? Because somebody listen.
You never know.
Call, you're on the air.
Hey, listen, I would never, ever.
John, it is late for
Bob
you.
After Dark.
I don't care.
Hey, I don't care what's on TV or what's going on. I'm always listening to you, my friend. I'm always going to call you. And I would never not out on you. How do you like that?
I appreciate that, John. I thought you forgot about me, or maybe you
sleeping.
Maybe the devil monkeys scared you off.
No, and you know what? As soon as you mentioned devil monkeys, just that split second, what came into my mind was those flying monkeys on the Wizard of Oz.
You know what? Those things were so terrifying as a child.
They were, and you know what? I Googled it while you were talking, and it does have a mysterious, spooky story behind them. They were called winged monkeys.
Ah.
But there's a story behind it, but you got to Google. I can't
recall
what I read. But it does have a little mystery behind it. But, yeah, when you said devil monkeys, I seen them things flying around like, you know, the Wizard of Oz days. And I thought maybe they were related in some kind of way.
No, this thing just jumps really far. Which is pretty scary because this thing can also move on all fours and hind legs at once. It's pretty terrifying. And it ripped off somebody's hood of their car. Yeah, I know. It never ends. While I got you on the phone, John, is there any... We're hearing rumors that there's a potential that you and my late father were the Polish Disco Demons. Is there any truth to this? Is there any truth to this tale that we're hearing going around?
Well, you know what? There's always a possibility to that. I mean, you know, we were Polish. We liked the color red, and we liked disco. So I guess you could put one and one and one together. And
you were what the Polish mothers were warning their kids about when they went to the discos. It was Bob Sr. and John Ponick.
Yeah, and you know what? The other day, a good friend of mine and a friend of Tony's also, his name's Bill Drapak.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know Bill or not, but anyway, I'll see him from time to time. And so he stopped by the house, I think it was Friday. I was taking groceries out of the car. And he says, hey, I heard you on the radio. And so, you know, I don't call Jed in the morning too often, but I'll call once in a while Tony in the region, Rush Hour, or Colin.
Yeah, well, I don't know who that Tony guy is.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. And he said, no, I heard you on this Bob After Dark. And I said, I said, do you listen to Bob? He says, yeah. So I said, you know what, Bill, why don't you call? You know, Bill's kind of, I don't want to say he's on the shy side, but
some people don't like to call him. My mom listens every week if she can. She won't call.
Yeah, so you know what, I told him, I said, you know, you remember Bob Anderson? Because we all play baseball, you know, like I said. And he said, yeah. I said, well, that's his son. And I said, well, you know, why don't you get, if you're listening tonight, Bill, you got the radio on, you'll hear me, give him a call, give Bob a call, and just say something about his dad when we're playing at Kosciuszko Park or McKinley there, and I'm sure you would be glad to hear that. So, Bill, I'm challenging you, give us a call tonight,
805-1100. That's peer pressure. Man, John, thank you so much for calling
in. We'll see if he's going to call. So, good show
it.
As always.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you very right, much, man. As always. Is there another caller on the line there, Pam?
No, but again, 219-845-1100. But, you know, you got to call in if you want to call in at the end of the day. I don't know.
That's fair.
All right. It is peer pressure.
It is peer
pressure.
But,
yeah, if he wants Mr. Drapak, call in if you like.
That's fair. Yeah. So, the depiction of the creature coincides with what some consider to be the most recent and controversial devil monkey encounter to the books to date. According to the report, on January 12th, 2006, which is recent-ish, an anonymous witness claimed that he and his family entered their Chicago home, so Chicago, to discover what he assessed was a devil-like creature violently attacking their six-year-old Labrador dog. I don't care what that thing is. If it's attacking my dog, it's catching these hands. That's the Bob Anderson take. That's not for direct quote from the, if nothing's attacking my animals, my babies, I'm going to attack a devil monkey with my bare hands. The man further described the beast as being an unusual combination of a monkey, a wolf, and a devil, with long fangs, a monkey-like tail, and extremely bright glowing eyes. Surprisingly, this fellow, unlike so many others who were taken aback by their first encounter with this violent cryptid, claimed that he remained calm enough to grab a nearby camera. That would have been the last thing I would do. If you're attacking my dog, I'm going to go whoop that cryptid. I'm going to fight it. Like, no questions. Was able to snap a photo of the allegedly diabolical fiend. It was after the flashbulbs burst that this creature purportedly sprang to its hind legs and ran, nearly pushing over the lucky fellow and his family in an effort to escape through the open door behind them. This unnamed observer also claimed that his neighborhood had been hereafter plagued with numerous reports of missing pets, and even went as so far to state that there was an additional, yet wholly understated account of yet another individual seeing an identical beast hanging from a local tree by its tail. While we here at American Monsters pride ourselves being champions of the bizarre rather than judges, a chore we leave up to you, dear readers. This is coming from the article, so bear with me, guys. It seems fairly obvious to us that the image depicts not an unknown cryptid, but a typical canine with its eyes reflecting in the camera's flash. The Labrador, which was supposedly attacking, does not appear to be in a state of distress, as one would assume it might be in the situation, and there even seems to be an indication of a collar on this photo that was taken in an allegedly unknown animal's neck.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I just wanted to share that with you guys real quick.
Yeah.
This photo that was shared apparently had a collar around its neck. You get the gist. But I'm telling you, I don't care what it is. If it's attacking my babies, hands.
You're going for it.
I'll take a picture of it when I'm done.
There you go.
That's just, you know, usually I like to be like, oh, let's study the unknown. Count me and you. We'll go look at it. The second you touch a fur baby, you're done.
Yeah.
There's no the investigation over.
That's
it's hunting time.
And there you are. That's what you have.
Yes.
Defender of pets.
Yes.
Creatures.
All right. So there's also this concept is closely related to the Gugwi. The Gugwi is an aggressive baboon-like creature seen mostly in the United States. It is very similar to the devil monkey, but has a few crucial differences. The Gugwi is much taller, although it is normally up to 6 or 7 feet tall. Tiny when it compared to the much larger Sasquatch, which is 8 to 12 feet. It does not have a tail, but since most dogmen sightings are at night, some believe that the Gugwi may be a creature similar to the dogman. While there has been no Bigfoot reports outside of the U.S. specifically describing Gugwi's dogman, Woodburger, Sasquatch, Almas, Woodworths, etc. could all be potentially Gugwis on occasion. So that's the story, and I'm sticking to it. The devil monkey, half devil, half dog, half weird creature, that is apparently something very devastating there.
Yeah. No, it would be. I mean, figure to the creatures that you refer to. I mean, from the dog creature. But a dog creature versus a disco. Not
the Polish disco demon.
Not the disco demon. The monkey. The devil monkey. That could be something.
You know, and we still have some time, so I'm going to read a little bit about the Gugwi since we have the time.
Sure.
You guys are going to get a double bubble.
Sure.
And so you could take it yourself. Are these devil monkey sightings Gugwi or not? Mm-hmm. So the Gugwi is a Bigfoot creature that is said to have canine-like snout, and Gug reports have been around since the early 1900s. You still with me?
Yeah.
Gugwis are very aggressive, which are strange for a primate, let alone an undiscovered one, leading some to believe it may be misidentified, that it may be a misidentified werewolf-like creature. So this could be like a dogman that some people are saying look more ape-like than dog-like. Native Americans despise and fear the creature. In 1995, a man was taking scenic photos in Seven Chutes, Quebec, Canada. We'll put that on hold. We have a caller.
You want to take it live?
We'll take it live. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, caller. Who are you? Where are you from?
Well, I'm Bill. I'm calling.
Hey. Oh, hi, Bill. How's it going?
Mr. Drape Pack, yes.
How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, well, yes, I know the count very well. I'm just I'm just enjoying your stories here.
Oh, thank you so much, Mr. Drapek. You know, that's very kind of you.
Yeah, Bill's an avid listener to WGLB Jet TV. But, you know, some people, you know, forget that we're on sometimes at night here. And here he's one of our listeners.
Small world. And in new Bob Anderson Sr., the creator of Bob After Dark.
Well, when I talked to the colonel there, as he's known, you know, I think about a week ago, he explained to me, I heard you on the radio, and so he told me who you were, and I think it's starting to come back now.
There you go. See?
That's very kind. Thank you for calling.
The old school Chicago days.
It's the Kishka gang, correct? Yeah, that's the terminology?
Yeah. That's right. Well, yes, still in East Chicago. You know, I've known the count there for a long time, so, you know.
Yeah, for a long time. And I don't know, Mr. Drapek, if you like any certain type of if you're a Sasquatch fan or a Ghost fan or whatnot, but happy to have you on board here.
Oh, no problem. Like I said, I'm enjoying your stories, and I get into that stuff, although I don't call that much, you know, but I listen.
Oh, thank you so much for calling in, sir. See? I appreciate that.
How about
very
that?
Kind of you.
All right. You guys take care.
Take care now.
Bye.
Take
Bye.
Care. Now, that's just to prove, Bob. You know, even though you think that nobody's calling, they're listening. They're
people listening. Listen. Yeah. You know, I like to crack jokes and say we're really big in fill-in-the-blank country.
We are.
Yeah, you know, we're really big in Tasmania.
Warsaw, Poland.
Warsaw, number one paranormal podcast in Warsaw, Poland.
Yes.
Yeah, man, they got the Warsaw Mermaids and the Warsaw Dragon. Yeah. I mean, those they have stories. The Warsaw police have mermaids on their police
they
patch.
They do. Yeah.
We covered that once. Anyway, so the Native Americans despised and feared the creature in 1995, a man taking some scenic photos in Seven Chutes, Quebec, Canada. Reviewing the photos at home, he noticed it had a strange figure in it. Sightings of the Gugwe, which by the way, G-U-G-W-E, and similar creatures have been reported all throughout the USA and parts of Canada, though they are normally drowned out by more popular Bigfoot types such as the Sasquatch or the skunk ape in Florida, whose habitats overlap with the Gugwe, and the Yeti, whose habitats do not overlap. Some say it's a bear, some say it's a dogman or werewolf, and some say it is a type of Bigfoot due to the fact that it appears to have a sagittal crest. A sagittal crest is a crest on the skull of some apes, notably gorillas. While it gives them elongated head, this trait is seen in no other animals, including bears and canines. So if the photo is real, it may have been a Sasquatch, as most of the time Gugwe are reported to have more baboon-like features, including head shape. However, it is rare that a Sasquatch or any other type of Bigfoot, except a select few, will be reported as having a baboon or canine-like snout, leading some to believe it may be a Gugwe, wood booger, or something else entirely. It is possible that the Gugwe is the same creature as a woodburger, a similar Bigfoot-like creature reported to have more chimpanzee-like face, as opposed to more human-like face such as a Sasquatch and more baboon-like the face of a Gugwe. The Gugwe and the woodburger both have more protruding snouts than a Sasquatch, which has no snout, and both have large canines and are known for their aggression. However, most information about the Gugwe comes from two YouTube channels, Sasquatch Chronicles and Matt Squatch Presents, though information about the creature similar to the Gugwe, such as the Sasquatch, bears, and the woodburger, and many others can be found elsewhere. So we talked a little bit about some ape-like creatures, the Gugwe and the devil monkeys. Which sounds more scary to you, Count Panic?
Well, I'm going to go with since it's fresh in my mind, I'm going to go, you know, devil monkeys are reigning supreme right here, Bob. I'm going to stick with the devil monkeys. And it's fun to say, too, devil monkeys.
Do you think there's a difference between the Sasquatch and the devil monkeys?
Yeah, I think there's some a difference there. I mean, I could see you could draw parallel lines to the two points, but... definitely, there's some differences there. What is a Sasquatch is not a devil monkey, and what is a devil monkey is not necessarily a Sasquatch.
So here's the thing, right? Sasquatch are considered ape-like creatures, right?
Yeah.
The missing link between evolution of primate to human.
Yeah.
And that's the point of the Sasquatch, right? That's the whole shtick. Sasquatch are more human-like than these, you know, more baboon, these giant baboon-like creatures such as the Gukwe or the Devil Monkey.
Yeah.
They are definitely more primate than, like, humanistic.
Yeah.
I understand why some people would get them confused.
Yeah.
Clearly, I believe that there's a difference between the two. What are you doing over there? You look like you were pawing something.
Pawing? Like a dog?
Yes.
No.
Do you have a dog or are you petting a devil monkey?
Oh, not that I know about. Nah, that could be taken the wrong way there, Bob, when you think about that. But no, I'm not. There's no devil monkey around here.
I hope not. I also think that these devil monkey are a lot more, you know, as the article was talking about, are a little bit more aggressive than a Sasquatch. Some Sasquatch
That's
just want to be left alone, other than when you're hunting them for beef
You
jerky,
haven't
right?
heard of a Sasquatch attacking. Yeah, the beef jerky Sasquatch.
There is plenty of Sasquatch attacking stories.
No,
what are you talking about? That's
very
common.
When's the last time you heard of a Sasquatch attacking somebody?
Dr. Ben Vanderson talked about this thing that literally, like, ripped a tree out of the ground and threw it at him.
I mean, but, yeah, but I'm just saying making national news here.
National paranormal news, but but they're not as common, right? So concepts like the dog man are a little bit more, you know, aggressive or, you know, whatever. But the Sasquatch is a little bit more docile than this concept of a devil monkey or this this other ape-like creature, the Gugwe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Plus the concept that, you know, the articles here says that native tribes despise the Gugwe,
yeah.
while as, you know, some cases I've always heard, you know, some tribes believe that the Sasquatch was like a protector of the woods or a protector of the tribe. Some there are stories that tribes kept a skull of a Sasquatch to keep Dogman at bay.
Yeah. Dogman, yeah. That's what I'm saying too.
I need to do a Dogman episode soon. Yeah. I've been referencing the Dogman so many times.
Yeah, that's a popular one too.
So what's you're awfully quiet there, Count Panic. Do you not have an opinion?
I was just talking.
Usually
to you,
you give me opinions.
Well, Bob, I've been up since 5 a.m.
So have I.
Have you, Bob?
No, I really haven't. More like six.
6 o'clock, Bob.
6 o'clock. Yeah, stop. You know, you could catch a nap middle of the day.
You know, I tried doing that, you know.
Aren't you a vampire? Aren't you nocturnal?
Bobs don't nap anymore.
Bobs don't nap anymore? What
vampires,
about you? I can nap during the day. Trust me, I live
either.
For my naps. But no, you're my producer. I need to hear your opinions on these things.
Yeah. Dog monkey devil is
the dog monkey the monkey devil, bro.
Monkey devil.
The devil monkey
devil
and
monkey.
The Gugwe.
Yes. I agree. All of them.
All right, Count Panic. You want to call it a night? You seem
tired.
I think
it's that time, Bob.
I can keep talking. I'm used to you being like, well, you know, do you think these things are terrifying?
Bob, they're terrifying.
Okay, out of everything we've ever talked about, I'm gonna make a Count Panic spooky scale,
sure.
Right?
Yes.
That's our new thing. I'm trying to stretch this out here to get you rejuvenated
yeah,
and talk
let's do
a little
it.
Bit. Oh my! So one of the camera people were just walking by, and it totally freaked me out.
Are
in a minute, because out of my truck,
it's real.
It's a devil monkey coming
it's
to get me.
Person, yeah.
That thing was coming at me. I'd be terrified.
You gotta be careful out there.
All right, yeah. Where does the Gugwe / devil monkey fall on line of like your spooky stuff?
Well, the Manning Gord is the top of the list right now. This one's probably made in the middle of the pack, right here, so to speak. But the you know dog. The devil gourd is the main one to think about right now.
So the man-eating gourd is literally the most terrifying thing.
I think so that we discussed here, yes. Because it's a gourd that talks and eats people. What say you?
Okay, so what's on the bottom of the scale? What's the least scariest thing I've talked about?
The least scariest thing? Johnny Appleseed.
Oh, thank God that story is well buried in the archives.
He's not even a cryptid.
I don't know what I was thinking.
He's not even a cryptid. Johnny Appleseed was a human being.
You know, Dr. Ben Vanderson just texted me. I have my own text line, by the way.
What's the text line? How can we?
You don't want to text, but please don't text me. Only certain people have the ability to text me. And Dr. Ben Vanderson, because I'm like, why don't you call and tell me this encounter?
Yeah.
And he's just not calling. Maybe he'll call in during this time. I'm fighting for callers tonight because I want to put you to work. You just sit there.
We gotta be up at 5 a.m. again, though, Bob.
That's unfortunate. You'll be fine. You get home in 10 minutes.
I'm knocking the lights off in 3 minutes here.
No, you're not. What if we want to keep going?
Bob, you never go past an hour.
What are you talking about? We've had 2-hour-long shows before.
Oh, man. Those were the days.
It was like only a month ago we had the paranormal veterans
story. That was fantastic.
All right, anyway. So, actually, did you know that they used to dig up Sasquatch skulls and bury them in Dogman Terry to make them fight like kaiju?
Yeah.
That was a strip straight from the Dr. Ben Banderson texting me that. He's a little phone shy.
Yeah.
And then he did say, it did throw a tree at me, too. So, I did not. That is a real confirmed tale of our cryptozoologist friend, Dr. Ben.
Sasquatch, you know.
He said it's straight up through a tree at him.
Sometimes they get spooked, though, I feel like. They just run away.
This was an interesting episode.
Yeah. You're very distracted tonight.
I'm not. You're the distracted one. I usually bounce off of you here, and you're like, oh, you know, I'm a lethargic vampire.
You seem a little off of model road closures, I think.
Shut up. Do you have any closing words for our audience tonight, Count?
Everybody, sleep well tonight.
That's it.
Yeah. You got to rest them. Good night.
Folks, thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. To my mom, I want to wish you sweet dreams. I know you can't be listening tonight, but maybe you will in the future. Dad, wherever you are in the universe, I just hope you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time. Remember to get your dog's cat spayed.
There you go. Bob Barker.
Memoriam Development.